This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salam ala Rasulullah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. The talbiyah. From the moment you enter ihram, you now begin saying what? Labbayk Allahumma labbayk. Labbayk la sharika laka labbayk. Innal hamda wal ni'mata laka wal mulk la sharika lak. We begin saying the talbiyah. And what does it mean? Number one, let's go ahead and translate it real quick. What it means, here I am, O Allah, here I am. Here I am to serve you. And here I am to serve you, O Allah, here I am to serve you. Again, you say, لبيك لا شريك لك لبيك. Here I am, O Allah, you have no partner. Here I am. إن الحمد والنعمة لك والملك. Verily all the praise and blessings are yours. And all the sovereignty as well. لا شريك لك. You have no partners. So some quick fiqh points about this statement. Number one, as we mentioned earlier, the Prophet ﷺ, he said in a hadith in Bukhari and Muslim and Abu Dawood, أَتَانِي جِبْرِيلْ فَأَمَرَنِي أَنْ أَمُرَ أَصْحَابِي أَنْ يَرْفَعُ أَصْوَاتَهُمْ بِالْإِهْلَالِ. He says that Jibreel alayhi salam came to me and commanded me to command my companions to raise their voices with saying the talbiyah. Right, to raise their voices. Okay, so again, for the men, it's recommended to raise. When you say it loud, just like the hadith says. For the sisters, you say it softly. Okay, and most. When do you stop saying the talbiyah? You start on the 8th of Dhul Hijjah from the moment you enter into Haram. When do you stop? On the 10th of Dhul Hijjah, when you get to the Jamaratul Aqaba and you start begin stoning. So from the 8th until the 10th, you're saying Labbaik Allahumma Labbaik constantly. Constantly you're saying Labbaik Allahumma Labbaik. From the 8th until the 10th. From the 8th until the 10th. Now, what's the ruling on the talbiyah? The scholars have difference of opinion. The Shafi'is and the Hanbalis, they hold the opinion that saying the talbiyah is sunnah. The statement, the saying of the talbiyah is sunnah. Whereas the Malikis, they hold that it is wajib. It's mandatory, meaning if you don't do it, you have to pay a fidyah. If you don't do it, you have to pay a fidyah. And the Ahnaf, the Abu Hanifa, there's narrations from his school of thought that it's actually a pillar of Hajj. It's actually a pillar of Hajj, meaning if you didn't say the talbiyah, your Hajj is nullified. He's alone in that. The Zahiris also held that opinion. But the majority opinion is either sunnah or wajib. And wallahu a'lam, one of the classes I took when we're talking about Hajj, it seems that the stronger opinion is that it's wajib. Is that it's wajib. Meaning, you have to do it. And if you don't, a fidyah is required of you. Now, alhamdulillah, everybody, once they enter the haram, they're all saying the talbiyah. So it's not like anybody's missing out on this. Right? But as much as possible, you say the talbiyah as much as you can. Labbaik Allahumma labbaik. So let's talk about the spiritual aspects of this. As you say this with your tongue, your heart also should be feeling it. Right? You're responding to the call of Ibrahim. Ibrahim alayhi salam, وَأَذِّن فِي النَّاسِ بِالْحَجِّ يَأْتُوكَ رِجَالًا. And call, make the proclamation of Hajj to mankind, they will come to you. Right? So we're saying, Labbaik Allahumma Labbaik, here I am, O Allah, to serve you, here I am. You're answering the call of Ibrahim, not just physically, but you're saying it with your heart, that I'm here, O Allah, to serve you and worship you. Ali ibn Hussein, when he entered into Ihram, he began saying the talbiyah, he began crying. And they asked him why, and he said, I'm afraid that it will be said to me, La Labbaik wa La Sa'daik. I'm saying, oh Allah, here I am to serve you. And I'm afraid, because of my shortcomings, because of who I am, maybe Allah will say to me in response, may you not come, may you not be helped in your ibadah. Right? So it's not just a statement you're saying, labbaik Allahumma labbaik. Internalize a statement. Wallahi, brothers and sisters, I'm telling you, if you leave Hajj having internalized this one statement, you'll leave with your life changed. That every moment of your life, everything that you do, your work, your family relations, your friends, what you choose to, where you choose to work, where you choose to live, where you choose to hang out with, who you choose to hang out, all these things, if it's judged by labbaik Allahumma labbaik, your life is changed. Everything is my, now it's, is it for Allah or for something else? And subhanAllah, you know, what's interesting is that when you say labbaik Allahumma labbaik, you say, here I am, O Allah, fully and forever, I'm answering your call and I'm committing myself to you. I'm here to serve you, meaning I'm committing myself to you, O Allah. قَصَدْتُكَ مُطَّرًّا وَجِئْتُكَ بَاكِيًا وَحَاشَاكَ رَبِّي أَن تُرُدَّ بُكَائِيًا. I have intended you, O Allah. I've attended you and I've come humbled, right? So your goal is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you notice how many times you say labbaik, labbaik, Allahumma, labbaik. Labbaika, la sharika laka, labbaik. إِنَّ الْحَمْدَ وَالنِّعْمَةَ لَكَ وَالْمُلْكَ لَا شَرِيكَ. Four times you're saying again and again, O Allah, here I am to serve you, O Allah, here I am. And when you say لبيك لا شريك لك لبيك, what you're saying is, oh Allah, here I am, you لا شريك لك, you have no partners. You know what that means? My focus is you and you alone. I'm not going to get distracted. It means I'm not going to get distracted, right? And that's one of the beauties of saying the talbiyah. If you follow the sunnah and say as much as possible from the 8th to the 10th, guess what? When you go to Mina and you don't have a tent, right? When I went to Mina, when the first time I performed Hajj, I didn't have a tent. Sleeping outside under the lights next to the buffet table, right? But when you're saying labbaik Allahumma labbaik, guess what? You're reminded. You're automatically de facto reminding yourself, hey, this is not the time for that, man. Don't get distracted by all these side things. Labbaik Allahumma labbaik. You're here for Allah. That's it. So it keeps you focused on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? Because you'll have distractions. No hotel, no AC, food. People are getting sick. You're getting bumped. You're getting pushed. The crowds, the shopping malls, the halal McDonald's. Everything is just getting on your nerves. Labbaik Allahumma labbaik. Labbaik Allahumma labbaik. You keep reminding yourself. And this also reminds you what we talked about yesterday. Forget about your rights. Forget about your rights. Don't feel like I'm entitled to this, I'm entitled to that. Labbaik Allahumma labbaik, I'm here for you, Allah alone. Everything else is secondary. Everything else I don't care about. Innal hamda wal ni'mata laka wal mulk. Laka, when we say the praise and the dominion belong to you, laka means it belongs to Allah. Allah owns praise, and we're praising Allah by permission of Allah. So we can never be equal with Allah, meaning we can never equally praise Allah, because we have to praise Him for giving us the ability to praise Him. And then we have to praise Him again for giving us the ability to praise Him. Right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the praiseworthy, Al-Hamid. Right? And so we praise Him as much as we can. And this, brothers and sisters, Hajj is a journey of ubudiyya lillah. Every step of the way of Hajj, you submit yourself to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a different way. Every step of the way, you submit yourself to Allah in a different way. And this talbiyah reminds you of that. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said in a hadith narrated by Ibn Abbas radhiyallahu anhuma, he says, قال بينما رجل واقف بعرفة إذ وقع عن راحلته فوقصته أو قال فأوقصته قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم اغسلوه بماء وسدر وكفنوه في ثوبين ولا تحنطوه ولا تخمروا رأسه فإنه يبعث يوم القيامة ملبيا. يا الله. He says, while a man was riding his mount in Arafat, he fell down and his neck broke and he died. He fell down from his camel, he broke his neck and he died. So the Messenger of Allah, he told them, wash him with water and sidr, and shroud him in two pieces of cloth. Right? We talked about two pieces of cloth. And he says, and neither perfume him nor cover his head, for he will be resurrected on the Day of Judgment, saying what? Saying, labbaik Allahumma labbaik, on the Day of Judgment. He comes out of the grave saying, here I am, O Allah, to serve you, here I am. Can you imagine somebody who lives by that talbiyah? Who lives like that? Right? The poet, he says, رُوحٌ دَعَاهَا لِلْوِصَالِ حَبِيبُهَا فَسَعَتْ إِلَيْهِ تُطِيعُهُ وَتُجِيبُهُ يَا مُدَّعِي صِدْقَ الْمَحَبَّةِ هَكَذَا فِعْلُ الْحَبِيبِ إِذَا دَعَاهُ حَبِيبَهُ. He says that a soul that Allah, that was called by the one who loves it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to come to Him. So it rushed towards it in obeying Allah and answering the call. Right? The soul was called to return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he says, oh, the one who claims to love, oh, the one who claims to be in love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, هَكَذَا فِعْلُ الْحَبِيبِ إِذَا دَعُوا حَبِيبَهُ. This is the way of those who are in love when they're the one who they love calls them. I mean, the soul rushes out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Labbaik Allahumma labbaik. Right? That's the idea that your soul, your heart, your body, your mind, your spirit, everything is focused on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? And even if you've never been to Hajj before, I think everybody has a sort of affinity to the slogan, right? This is the slogan of Hajj. Everybody has an affinity. When you hear, for me, when I hear labbaik Allahumma labbaik, it just, my heart just starts flying, man. You hear this, it's so powerful. And if blessed is the one who comes back from Hajj living by the slogan. And blessed is the one who doesn't go to Hajj and still lives by the slogan. Right? If you haven't gone to Hajj before, you still live your life with labbaik Allahumma labbaik. You live your life by labbaik Allahumma labbaik. Right? On this day, on the 8th of Dhul Hijjah, you go to Mina. Right? So you wear your ihram from wherever you are, and then you go to Mina. The sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ is that he got to Mina before Salat al-Dhuhr. He reached Mina on the 8th of Dhul Hijjah before Salat al-Dhuhr. Okay? And there he prayed Salat al-Dhuhr, two rak'ahs. So shortened, but at its time. And then Asr, two rak'ahs, shortened, but at the time of Asr. He didn't combine Dhuhr and Asr. So Dhuhr at Dhuhr time, Asr at Asr time, two rak'ahs, Maghrib at Maghrib time, Isha, two rak'ahs at Isha time, and he prayed Fajr the next morning. So Fajr, now we're talking about the 9th of Dhul Hijjah, right? The 8th day, the 9th night, we spend in Mina. Okay? Now, the majority of the scholars hold that going to Mina is Sunnah on the 8th of Dhul Hijjah. Meaning if someone misses it, their Hajj is still valid and they do not have to pay any fidya. Their Hajj is valid and they don't have to pay any fidya. Very few of the scholars, some of the scholars, very few, minority opinions say that it is wajib to be there. The overwhelming majority say it's sunnah to be there on the 8th of Dhul Hijjah. Okay? So what do? We pray the four prayers there, the five prayers, Dhuhr, Asr, Maghrib, Isha, and Fajr. There is a masjid called Masjid Khayf in Mina. The Prophet ﷺ would pray there. The Prophet ﷺ would pray at Masjid Khayf. So if you want to go there, ahlan wa sahlan, the only thing is it could be difficult to get there because it's going to be very packed. And once you go to Mina, you'll see it's like a million tents. It's like a million tents. So to get there from where you are and to find your way back and stuff, it could be difficult. But if you want to go, you can. There's some weak ahadith that say 70 prophets before the Messenger of Allah have also prayed there. 70 prophets before the Messenger of Allah. But it's weak narrations, but nevertheless, it's there. Now, what do you do in Mina besides the prayer? As we said in the question and answer, Mina is the equivalent of like the sunnah prayer before the fard. Right? The sunnah prayer before the fard, what does it do? It gets you ready for the fard, right? Gets you in the zone, gets your mind focused. Mina is getting you ready for the greatest day of Hajj, the day of Arafah. Mina is getting you ready for the day of Arafah. Right? So what do you do, brothers and sisters? You know, don't exert yourself. This is not a night where you're going to pray tahajjud, okay? This is not a night you pray tahajjud. Because this is a night you need to preserve your strength for the most important day of your life, the day of Arafah. So preserve your strength, eat enough, but don't eat too much. Don't eat too much, don't overwhelm yourself. And then I would recommend sitting down with your 30-page dua list that you've created and looking it over and just stop and think for a second. It's going to be, you're in a big tent and it's basically bed, 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 bed. You're like, this is just, you walk into the tent, you have like this much, this wide of a walkway, and then you have beds on each side. And there's multiple entrances to the tents, and that's how it is. Okay? So it's hard to kind of get a privacy, but do what you can, even if it's in your own bed, whatever. Sit down and think about it for a second. Think about tomorrow. Tomorrow is the greatest day the sun has ever risen on, the day of Arafah. Tomorrow you will be standing on a day when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala descends to the lowest heaven and He boasts of His slaves who have come to Arafah seeking His forgiveness. Will you be amongst those when the sun sets whose sins will be forgiven? Will you be amongst those who have been freed from hellfire? Will you be amongst those who Allah says, "Ansarifu maghfura lakum," go forth from Arafah, all your sins are forgiven? Will you be amongst those who will earn the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or not? These are questions you have to ask yourself in Mina the night before Arafah. Prepare yourself mentally that you're going to Arafah, and then ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in your salawat in Mina and your time before this, ask Allah for tawfiq to give you the strength, the ability, the wisdom to make the dua that you need to make, that you have the faith in Allah and the confidence in Allah and the proper etiquette in your dua, that you ask Allah and you are given forgiveness and mercy on the day of Arafah. And that ends the 8th of Dhul Hijjah. The next day after Fajr, you leave for Arafah. We'll stop there. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Let's take a 10-minute break and take some questions.